you build that community piece, you build those people that they know that they trust you, and then you have that halo effect of the word of mouth as people know you produce good quality things.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Huge thanks, before we get into the episode today, huge thanks to Brad Holdsworth from Remarkable Commerce for introducing us to this brilliant guest. Thank you, Brad. In this episode, we are talking to a really fascinating business who are very mission-driven and also hugely successful in what is a very crowded market space. They sell metal water bottles and other products. I'm going to be chatting to their head of e-commerce about a whole host of things, including how they're dealing with the Brexit fallout and their recipe, or their building, the best recipe that they're building for success in Europe. Get into quite a lot of that. We're also talking about how important brand is. We're talking about the balance between merchandising and marketing. There's loads of great stuff in this one. You're going to love it. Make sure, though, that you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest's top tips. And she's brought some brilliant ones along to this episode and my own take on this episode too. Shopify recently turned the tables on me and took me from interviewer to interviewee. Knowing as they do that the most successful retailers today are those that bridge the gap between online and offline and make it a seamless experience, Shopify wanted my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, particularly in the key areas of local selling, omnichannel selling, and cross-border selling. You can read my thoughts along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy by visiting ecmp.info/Shopify and downloading the report. That's ecmp.info/Shopify. And now to introduce our special guest. Bryony Tagg is the head of e-commerce at Chili's, a B Corp retailer on a mission to accelerate the adoption and everyday use of reusable products. Starting with the Chili's water bottle in 2010, the brand has gone a long way in the last 14 years. Their headless e-commerce site does around 30,000 orders a month, plus they have a wholesale channel too. Hello, Bryony.
Hi, Chloe.
Brilliant to have you here. Thank you so much for being up for doing this. I don't think there is a person, certainly not in the UK, who hasn't snagged a Chili's water bottle at an e-commerce event. So you're kind of almost synonymous with e-commerce in my head.
I know. I've been amazed since starting at Chili's, actually, how many people know exactly who we are by me just saying Chili's, not followed by the water bottle company, which is great.
It is it's a phenomenal piece of branding. We'll talk all about all things Chili's later, but first, let's learn a bit more about you, Bryony. How did you end up in the world of e-commerce?
That's a good question. So I actually started out my career in traditional merchandising. So I went straight from university into that because I'd always had a love for retail. I'd done and worked in retail since I was very young. And I started out my career at Thomas Pink, part of LVMH, in traditional merchandising. And as that business was expanding, they introduced an e-commerce merchandiser role, which I went for and got, and then kind of worked my way up from there. So yeah, starting out in e-commerce merchandising and all of the wonderful functions that that entails, and then gradually moving into the e-commerce trading role before Chili's at Moss, or formerly known as Moss Bros, and worked my way up there through into senior e-commerce management, getting used to looking after a sizable team, dealing with lots of different agencies, the world of performance marketing, CRM, and just been growing from that point onwards.
So I've always had a marketing background, and that's been my route into e-commerce. As someone who's come up from the merchandising side of things, do you think that puts you in a stronger position than the marketing people, or a harder position than the marketing people? I guess what I'm saying is it easier to catch up on marketing, or easier to catch up on merchandising? Or even, does it put you ahead because the majority of marketers have no clue about merchandising at all?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I definitely feel like for me, it was the right foundation to have. I'm a very logical, numbers-based, factual person. So that worked for me as an entry point. There's different types of e-commerce roles, aren't there? Like in terms of head of departments and the areas that you look after and the expertise that you need. And I think for the roles that I've had, having that foundation of merchandising experience has been really helpful. Just understanding the flow of how products are made, how long it takes in terms of lead times, all of the intricacies about where product comes from, how I then need to sell that product, then kind of naturally moves into the marketing world and the creative elements that come behind trying to sell that product. And so for me, it's definitely been a great foundation. And I would recommend it to a lot of people as a good way to start.
Yeah, we definitely don't talk about merchandising enough, especially to the, you know, early stage career people. But yeah, it's a cool channel. Right, next question then. You've gone from fashion retail with loads of SKUs and loads of sizes and loads of colorways and all of that into water bottles and other products where, yes, there's a lot of colorways, but there's no sizing anymore. And there's a much smaller range of products. Has that been a joy, or do you miss all the complexity of fashion?
It was a deliberate decision. I've worked in fashion for a long time, and I wanted to try my hand at something different and really understand, I suppose, A, if I could do it, but also the differences of this type of world. Yeah, letting go of sizes, I do not miss. I think that presents a whole heap of its own problems, as we know, in terms of the availability of products and all the intricacies that come with managing that. But at the same time, going from a really broad offering of product to a much smaller offering of product has its own challenges, because you've got a limited amount of product that you can sell, that you can talk about, and there's only so many ways that you can slice things and keep it interesting for your customers. So that has been a really interesting learning curve for me coming into Chili's, and how they keep the brand really fresh. It's a very marketing-led business, whereas coming from Moss and in fashion, that's obviously very product led. So that has been different, but I'm learning a lot from it. And there's parts of fashion that I missed, but I really like this world as well.
So what is the product range now at Chili's? Because I must admit, I went onto the website prepping for this interview and was like, wow, there's so much more than water bottles now. So, and which I guess makes sense when you consider the mission of the business is to accelerate the adoption and everyday use of reusable products. It's always going to expand beyond bottles. So what's the product range look like these days?
Well, so obviously you said already, we started out as a water bottle brand. Everybody starts from somewhere, and we are looking at all of the different areas that we could potentially grow Chili's into. So like you said, we've gone from water bottles. We've had real success with reusable coffee cups. That's gone really well for us. We've introduced food pots as well, so keeping things hot and cold on the go. And then cutlery was introduced last summer to great success. We sold out in the first 12 weeks of our first hit of cutlery and surpassed all expectations in the business in terms of how that would perform. So introducing new products and keeping things fresh and exciting and staying up to date in the world of reusables is really important. Our mission, which you've touched on already, but is also to be that global authority of reusables, which goes beyond your kind of household travel kitchen item, so to speak, and can get much bigger than that. So our aim is to grow that, but not just within the UK and Europe, which I'm sure we'll come on to talk about, but much, much bigger than that, and putting Chili's at the forefront of, we are the authority in this space.
And talking of territories, you're based in here in the UK. Where does Chili's currently sell to?
So we do operate worldwide, but we're looking at how much further we can push and expand that. We had a really big start at Chili's when we first got going as a brand. And since, and I know a lot of other brands will have experienced this, but since COVID and Brexit, our European market on a D2C basis has struggled somewhat. Things have just become harder. People have given up. I know I've got family living abroad on the continent, and they just say, oh, just order me stuff from Amazon. I can't be bothered with the hassle. And that's what we're up against. It's a real, real challenge for us. And focusing on investing in the brand across Europe specifically at the moment is critical for us. We've got some really big B2B partnerships across Europe, and we now need to grow on that brand awareness of Chili's and really invest in that to be able to bring health back to our European market. So that's a big focus for us in the kind of immediate future, but beyond that as well.
So dealing with that European challenge, what are the key steps you've taken to try and at least make it easy for the customer who goes past the point of thinking it's immediately difficult? Because there's layers to it, aren't there? So what approaches have you been taking to make it easier for the European customers to buy from the website?
It's everything. And you're right, there's so many layers to this. It's not just the immediate experience when you hit the website. It's what comes after that. It's all of the postage elements of things. So who we're partnering with in that department, how much we're charging for that, but also the marketing that we have out there. So how much we're investing in making sure that everything we do in France, in Germany, in Spain, etc., is all properly and correctly translated. So we work with a translation agency who do all of that for us to make sure that everything isn't just crudely translated, it's properly translated into local dialect. It means something to every customer that our marketing touches. And that's really, really important for us. Like I said already, brand is critical to Chili's. That's how we grew ourselves. And our brand awareness is really important. So that's a big thing that we've been looking at. And as we start to invest more money in that marketing, ensuring that everything that happens on the website internationally is as clean and as slick as it possibly can be in those relevant languages, but also testing things by market as well and really understanding those customers. And the differences in community is very important. In Italy, for example, they're less keen on travel coffee cups for hopefully relatively obvious reasons. So there's certain things that work in certain markets, and that's what we need to really get our heads as a team into and properly understand all of the search data, and that we can get behind that to build profiles of those different audience types.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's like, what's the quick win in each territory? And trying to market reusable coffee cups to the Italians is not the quick win. But another product is going to be the quicker win in Italy. It's just trying to find all those ways to make life more straightforward to you. But it's an interesting kind of like subtle impact of the Brexit. I was going to swear then, but Brexit impact and what's come out of it is, from what you're saying, if a brand wants to, or any business wants to succeed in a European territory now coming out of the UK, there's so much immediate blockage from the customer's perspective sitting in the EU that there you've got to be clearly making an effort. So not AI driven slightly dodgy copy, not advertising a product on the homepage that you don't actually ship there, not having, you know, clearly, you know, I don't know, putting Wimbledon on the front page of the website when their country has no interest in tennis. But you've got to really proactively go, no, we do care about you. It's worth the hassle. We're thinking about it. We're caring. Because we're caring, we probably bothered to sort out all the problems for you. It's a lot of work, isn't it? So have you picked particular countries to go after? Are you going after everyone? What's your aim?
Yeah, I think we're taking learnings as much as we can from our B2B side of the business. So there are partnerships that are set up and working in certain locations, and we are taking those learnings and applying them to the D2C side of the business. So we've had some success last summer. We launched some out of home marketing in Spain, and that worked really, really well for us. And since then, we've seen Spain performing well for us as a country. So that's now led us into, right, let's have a bit of a look at Switzerland, for example. So Switzerland is quite a small D2C business for us, notoriously tricky one, because do you advertise in French? Do you advertise in German? That's a conundrum that we're still working through. But it's a big B2B business for us. So again, we know that the brand awareness exists for us in that market. So a lot of the work is already being done by the fact our products are visible and people know who we are, and playing on that and starting to advertise in those locations and doing lots of very specific test and learn, and also working with local marketing influencers, so producing local language UGC content that really taps into our audiences in those markets, and that's working really well for us. So it's the big countries at the moment that we're focusing on, because that's where historically we did have growth and we've lost it, but eventually it will be to expand beyond that once we've kind of taken our test and learn from these main markets.
That's clearly a huge amount of work. You mentioned that you've got an agency dealing with all the translations for you. What else has that done to the team in-house or to what you're choosing to outsource? What's that looking like?
Yeah, that's a good question. We've grown, like I said, very fast as a business. We do outsource quite a lot of the work that we do. So I'm part of the marketing team, and our marketing team is about 10 strong. And within e-commerce, there's two of us. It's me and one other person, and everything else around that is outsourced and then managed from the in-house. So it is a lot of work. We are very reliant on the partnerships that we build with the people we work with. They are completely and utterly an extension of our team. We work very, very closely with all of them. We have to be intertwined on a daily basis with everything that they're doing to really drive forward the business. But it's quite lean, but we cover a hell of a lot as a small team. And I'm really, really proud of everything that we are able to produce, because it is quite outstanding when you have the time, really, to step back and properly look at it.
So that means, you've got an email marketing agency, an advertising agency, all those elements are being handled by agencies that you've taken the time to properly integrate with everything that you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I oversee the performance marketing function as a whole, inclusive of retention programs like CRM, etc. But that is all briefed inwardly outward. And then we work with all of those agencies on the execution. But yeah, we are heavily reliant on all of their expertise.
The market you operate in is, dare one say it, quite homogenised, there's an awful lot of water bottles to pick from. If we pick on the water bottle, there's an awful lot of travel mugs to select from. I've always thought it's really impressive how Chili's has managed to stand out in such a crowded space where there's arguably not a great deal to pick between the end products. Is brand the key thing that does that for you? Is it that obsession with looking after the customer that you just talked to us about in terms of the European piece? Is that what makes the difference? Is that something you think about all the time? How do we continue to be at the top of this?
Yeah, it's really important for us that we, like I said before, we're the authority in this space. We were there very early on, an early adopter of this type of reusable, and we're not going anywhere. And for us, it's about maintaining that, and it's through brand is absolutely critical. So investing in the brand, ensuring people know who we are, but also the fact that we are a trusted brand, we produce quality product, and we know what we're talking about in this space. And I think that's really important. The quality of the products that we produce kind of being the second arm there. If we don't produce quality product that hits the type of things that people are looking for in this space, lots of people these days, rightly so, are conscious buyers in terms of what we're consuming. And investing in a Chili's product, you are getting something quality that will last, and that is absolutely critical for us. We recently in-housed our production team, and they do everything in-house now in terms of the quality control and very rigorous product testing on all of the things that we produce to make sure that when they hit market, they are as top quality as they absolutely can be. And by doing that, you build that community piece, you build those people that they know that they trust you. They know when they buy a Chili's product exactly what they're getting. And then you have that halo effect of the word of mouth. As people know you produce good quality things, then that gets around, and that's how we build our customer base.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Shopify recently turned the tables on me and took me from interviewer to interviewee.
Knowing as they do that the most successful retailers today are those that bridge the gap between online and offline and make it a seamless experience, Shopify wanted my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, particularly in the key areas of local selling, omnichannel selling, and cross-border selling. You can read my thoughts along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy by visiting ecmp.info/Shopify and downloading the report. That's ecmp.info/Shopify.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay. I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Bryony, are you ready?
I'm ready, yes.
Okay. The book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Yeah, so I had a good think about this, and I have to be completely honest. Reading books for me is a switch off. And therefore, when it comes to this type of book reading, I'll be honest, I don't really do it. So in this space, for me, how do I digest this type of information that you're looking for? It's a number of different things. It's really listening a lot of the time. So I will listen to a lot of podcasts. I'll watch a lot of YouTubes. I'll watch a lot of TED Talks. I find that a really sort of quick and easy way for me to digest information. And then following a lot of people on LinkedIn and following various blogs, signing up for newsletters, that's for me how I like to digest this type of information. So yeah, I'm not necessarily going to give a book top tip because I don't have one, but I would just say to people, dependent on how you like to digest this type of information, go with what works for you and sign up to the right things or get out there and network and speak to the right people.
I think that's brilliant advice. And it's very similar to when I get asked to recommend a top podcast. I'm like, I listen to podcasts based on need. You know, what do I need to know about right now?
Yeah.
What do I need to know about at the moment? There are so many resources we can look for. Obviously, everyone listening, stay subscribed to E-commerce Master Plan. Listen every week. You need to hear this. But it's like, what's going to bring the best for you if you took Friday off?
Yes.
It might not be a book, and that's completely acceptable. Love it. Thank you, Bryony. Traffic top tip then. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I could argue them all, if I'm being honest. And I think when I've kind of gone around in circles on it, but I keep landing back at the same answer on this one, which for me is organic. I can't see past the importance of organic. It's absolutely critical to every business. It's so important in everything you do. It builds the foundation of your website and it's what brings traffic back consistently. And it's got so many different layers through it in terms of making sure you're providing top quality content to bring people in from different parts of the internet to your website. And I find that the quality of traffic that you get from organic surpasses anything else. So there's been many different things that I've tried and there are other ways of driving volume traffic, but for me, it's always going to be organic.
And for you, is organic about the content, about the tech, or about the links? Or is it all three?
Good question. It is all three. For me, probably out of the three, content would be king. I think producing, knowing your audience, producing the right content and getting that content in the right places. So whether that's working with external publishers or that's hosting a blog on your site, that's making sure that all of the copy across your site is consistently looked at, consistently updated with the right keywords, and you're constantly monitoring the change of different keywords in the environment and making sure that you're on top of that. If you nail organic, then I feel like it will never hurt you. It's always running in the background doing exactly what it needs to do.
Excellent. Okay, the tool top tip then. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Yeah, I've got many of these, but the one that I've landed on, which is one that I've actually recently discovered since joining Chili's, is an app called Menti, which is brilliant. We actually use this on a weekly basis as a company. We do a weekly call every week and we use Menti for two different things. It's essentially a little app or a web page that you can log on anonymously and you can leave some feedback, and then we bring it up on a big screen in the room for the whole company to look at, and everybody gets a chance to talk about the thing they're most proud of that week. So it's just a way of kind of building lots of answers together. And then it's also got the ability to run like quick polls and things like that. So we do a lot of that type of thing in our weekly calls as a business. So we'll ask certain questions and everybody can like get their phones out, and it's very interactive, and log into your phone and submit your answers for different things. And then it, in real time, it kind of loads everything on the screen in front of us to see how everybody's responded to certain questions and polls and debates. So yeah, it's a good anonymous way of getting feedback and information from the whole company in one go.
Nice. And that's M-E-N-T-E-E, is it?
M-E-N-T-I, I believe.
M-E-N-T-I, there I was, getting it all wrong, everybody. M-E-N-T-I, Menti app. Very cool. My brain is now full of ways I could use that for things. So
it is very cool.
Yeah, it's like a million possibilities. Whilst I go off on that tangent in my own head, one last top tip question for you, Bryony. The carbon top tip. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Yeah, I've gone quite big on this one, which is something that we do at Chili's and I think is great. And I know there are other brands out there that do similar things, but we run an ongoing sort of trade-in scheme or refresh scheme, as we call it, where we allow people to send back on an ongoing basis any Chili's bottle that they want to send. It's, they've maybe had it for a long time and it's dented and they want to replace it with a new one. The main reason I'm talking about this is because of what we actually do with that product when we get it back. And it's a full circular process in terms of everything that we receive back. That's from the bottle itself or the cup or the food pot to the packaging that it comes in. That all gets completely and utterly recycled. 100% of that goes back into the process. And for certain periods of the year, we allow people to send back from any brand and we'll take any of that product. And again, we work with a partner who recycles 100% of what's returned to us. So that, to me, is the epitome of a carbon top tip, because it's really working to close that gap. And we're going above and beyond just the products that we're producing and putting out there. We are living up to kind of our B Corp status and the fact that we really, really want to reduce single-use plastic, and we are absolutely committed to that as a business. So when I saw that we offered this scheme, I thought that's fantastic, and we're doing a lot more to make sure that that is properly marketed and people know that we offer that and that exists.
I love that you've brought that up, because it excites me how much in the industry we're now talking about what happens at the end of the life of the product, or what happens with the product after the customer's bought it, and not just going, well, we did the first bit. We put it in a cardboard box to send it to them, and we offset the delivery cost, but actually that longer piece and taking responsibility for it before any legislation comes anywhere near us. I love how much we're talking about at the moment, because it's just, you must see how it works from a customer experience standpoint and a customer lifetime value standpoint too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. I think it is. It's absolutely putting your money where your mouth is, and it's putting planet and people before profits in a way that a lot of other companies claim they do, but they really don't. It proves to people that you genuinely care. Yeah, it's big. People talk about it. It helps people to understand that you as a brand really mean what you say, I suppose, in this area.
Love that top tip. Thank you. Bryony, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
So you can find us on any social media platform. So it's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, X, at Chili's, which is C-H-I-L-L-Y-S. Or at chilis.com/UK as well.
Brilliant. Bryony, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been fascinating chatting to you, especially the European piece. Really cool. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been brilliant chatting with you.
No worries. Thank you very much, Chloe. It's been lovely to speak to you.
Really fascinating to get to speak to such an omnipresent brand, I suppose, here in the UK that's relatively young, and look at how their systems are enabling them to, or their mission really is enabling them to stand out in a very crowded, homogenized marketplace. And the European focus, absolutely fascinating how they structure the business and keep the majority of things outsourced, really fascinating. And just really interesting listening to Bryony. I, for one, will be keeping a very close eye on what Chili's are doing next, because it's going to be really interesting to see what Bryony and the rest of the team get up to over the next 12, 18 months. To get your hands on the notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to what we've mentioned, head over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast. Or as always, you can use our direct episode short links. That's ecmp.info/the number of the episode. And that will take you straight to the right page on the website. When you get to the website, please do add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business, like our e-commerce explored webinar series going from strength to strength and still running over the summer. If you like this episode, then you can catch all our B Corp episodes. So lots of episodes with businesses that are very mission driven, but also highly successful. You'll find all of them via ecmp.info/B Corp. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help business owners like yourselves to succeed and thrive with your e-commerce business, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Hope you have a great week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
Don't forget to download Shopify's new industry report featuring my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy, by visiting ecmp.info/Shopify.